Art, about, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, or maybe even more, I asked you to make up 10 sentences. Do you remember that? Did you do it? Did you try to do it? Some of you did, some of you didn't. Phil, did you do it? No? Mark?
I got some of them.
We got some of them. All right, the reason why I wanted you to do this is because I really wanted to see whether or not you're getting it. And somebody handed me their paper last night, and I was a bit disappointed. And so I thought, rather than going on with the prepositions, which we will, I'd like to take some time to go over some very important rules that apparently this person didn't quite understand. And in addition to that, first of all, let me ask you a simple question. How many subjects can you have in a sentence?
One.
Or you can compound it, providing it's a compound subject. But you can't change the subject within the sentence from he to me or I, correct? You can't change the person. And this I noted. In addition to that, we learned something else that I think, and what I'll do here is I'll write this out, and I don't wish to do this in the absence of the individual, but I don't think they'll mind, because I'm going to tell them what I've done, using them as an illustration. Here's one of the sentences. That's not spelled correctly, but I'll spell it the way they did. And the rest of the sentence. Now, first of all, there are two major errors. Actually, there are three major errors. But what is the one obvious error? Look at it. Okay. It should be anthropos, right. This should have been what? It should have been nominative, because this is nominative. All right, this is what? This is dative. It's not even dative because there's no subscript. But it's dative. Okay? Is it not? No. Just the word itself. Okay? So, these two have to agree. The subject of the sentence must be in the nominative case. That's first of all. Second obvious. Yeah, ton is what? That's the accusative. That would be the direct object. But it's not expressed. There's no direct object. Ton what? And then what is vlepo? It's a verb in what tense? Tense. Present tense. That's present active indicative. First person singular. I. Well, how can you say, the man, he sees, the, I see. That makes sense. Got it? Okay. I'll put another one down. Translated. The woman sends... Apostolo. To the apostle. Anything wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. That's correct. Now that's what amazed me. You can get one sentence correct. Okay, here you have. Here's your subject. E and ye, which is correct, the woman. Third person singular from stelo. Okay. The word, there's your direct object. To the, there's your indirect object. To whom is she sending the word? To the apostle. So the woman is sending, all right, or sends the word to the apostle. That's it's correct. There's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly legitimate. Okay, here's another sentence. There's a space in here, by the way. All right. It doesn't make any sense. Watch. Graphis, you write and send. You could just say you write and send to the word or to the Bible. The, there's the direct object. This should have been feminine, right? At least a first declension noun, right? Here's a verb. This is knowledge. Now, I know what the person was trying to say. You send to the word knowledge. Or better yet, you write and you send knowledge of the word. Saying it should have been to the vliu, that would have been of the. Tin would have been the direct object. This should have been a noun reflecting the direct object of the article. Not a verb. Why? Because you have a verb here, and you have a verb here, and then you have another verb here. This is in what? This is second person singular. This is second person singular. That's first person singular. You can't do that. How many subjects do we have here? Two. We have a compound subject here, which is permissible. But you can't throw in a present active indicative first person singular, because that expresses I know. Unless you're saying you send to the word, you send to the word the whatever I know. But that's English. The Greeks don't talk that way. I don't know that you even say that in English, but you have that kind of an idiom when a person says something, you say, I know. All right, I'll have to get with this person, and it's continuously throughout that subjects are thrown in just at random. So the whole point is, if you're using a subject, as in this case, this is the omega, that's first person singular. This is an omega verb, but it's in the second person plural. You write and send. There's your what's the subject there? You. It's expressed. All right? The subject is expressed within the quality of the verb. you send and you write. This should have been probably torn. Biblon, the word. That would have been sufficient. There's the direct object of what you're sending. You are sending what? You're sending the word. Now, if you want to say to the church, you'd say, not, it's ecclesia, by the way. You'd have to use the dative, right, of the feminine, because ecclesia is from e ecclesia. Or to the boys, to, you know, dative of boys. Get it? Please lock in your mind that as soon as you express the present active indicative verb and put it in a particular number, that automatically makes that the subject. Okay? You can't throw in another one. Now, you can express the name of an individual if you said, Apostolos Graphi, right? If you left this out, he writes. Okay? But here you express who the writer is. Literally you're saying, Apostle, he writes. But you wouldn't say that. You just translated Apostle, writes. And then ton, logon, the word. Okay? Here we'd have the article if we used it. O apostolos. Apostolos. Okay? Y'all understand what I'm doing here? You see where the problem was with the one who turned in the assignment? Give me an illustration of what you used. Somebody. Mark, try it. Give me one of your sentences. I'm in the mood to write tonight. I want to write letters to the apostles.
I see the man.
No, again.
Yeah.
I see the... Yeah, by the way, this is what I want you to do from now on. If you make up a sentence, I want you to translate it. Right underneath it. Or write it in English first, then write it in Greek. That'd be perfect. Because I really don't know what this person intended. If I did, maybe I could figure out why there's so much confusion. All right, you said what? I see the man?
I see the man, and I wrote, Lepo
Vlepo. No. Now, there's a good illustration. Let's leave that right there. Vlepo. Oh, Andros. Where's the subject of the sentence here, Mark?
I thought that the subject was wrapped up in the ending of Lepo, being I see.
It is. I see.
So the subject is integral, is wrapped up there with the verb.
Exactly. But look what you did here. You used the nominative and the nominative. So now you have three subjects. I see. What's the direct object of what you see? It should have been vlepo ton anthropon. The accusative. There's your direct object. So you use the nominative here, right? And you're saying, I see. And then you use the man as the subject again. Can't do that. You did the same thing that this person did. And I'm glad I'm going over this, because I can see now that we need to do it. Yes, it is. It's wrapped up right in the verb. I is the subject. See. Now I want the direct object, ton, andron. Everybody see that? Bob? Of course you do. You see it, Bob? Yeah. Okay. Any? Did you do any, Glenn? No. You got any more, Mark? Try this, by the way, as an exercise. Make up 10 sentences using the vocab that I've given you. Remember that sheet, chart for the omega verbs, and I gave you a bunch of sentences there? And so, and I gave you some vocabulary words. Suppose I wanted to say, yeah. Write this down for me. Let's see how close you get. Ready? In Greek. First, write the sentence down. God sends the word to the disciples, to the disciple. Hey, you ready? That's what you should have. Now, let's analyze it. Tell me why this says what I said. Subject of the sentence, Mark.
The subject is God.
Okay. O, theos. Both which are in what? Nominative masculine singular. Nominative masculine singular of the second declension. Main verb, steli. Third person singular, present active indicative from stelo. Okay. E is the ending, he. In this case, it could be he, she, or it. Third person singular, reflecting back to he, the subject of the sentence, namely God. So, the God, he sends direct object, ton logon. Accusative masculine singular, accusative masculine singular, second declension, from o logos. He sends the word, dative, right, masculine singular, mathati. Don't, if anybody put mathato with a subscript in this, this is a first declension. So it's first declension masculine, and therefore must decline as a first declension masculine noun. This is to, which is masculine singular. That's the way you do it. Now let's talk about this. Carl, see it all? Make sense? Okay, Mark? What? Wait a minute. Ton logon.
I wrote to logon.
To? T-O? Omega. Yeah, that's neuter. It should have been ton. Okay. Oh, you can't change them. They must agree. These, remember, the article and the noun must agree in number, gender, and case. The noun and the article must agree in number, gender, and case. Now, in your case, Mark, you used a dative article with an accusative noun. Can't do that. They didn't send to the word, they sent the word. Correct? Or rather, he sent the word. He meaning God. Ton logon, direct object of the verb, steli, from the subject, o theos. Now we have the dative, to the disciple.
I wrote
T-O-U? That's genitive. That's of the.
I meant accusative. Taf
omicron ni would have been accusative. You can't. No. This isn't the direct object of the verb.
It's the indirect object.
That's right. The indirect object is the dative.
Okay, then that was my mistake.
Yeah. Then have to be two logu. Well, he didn't use the genitive, though. He used
I used
the accusative.
The accusative and the dative, I got mixed up. I wrote down in English, I blocked it out as God is nominative, verb is sense, objective case is the word, and the indirect object is to the disciple. That's how I blocked it out.
Yeah. You got it mixed up. You used the wrong. But just make sure that the article, all right, and the noun agree in number, gender, and case, but not necessarily in what? Declension. Now we have that shown right here. You have to follow the dative of the first declension, all right, of the first declension, masculine. And that's why you have an ita subscript with a circumflex. Here you use the article. Normally, what would be if this was a second declension noun? Second declension noun. What would be the ending in the dative? It'd be an omega with a subscript and the circumflex over the top for the dative case. But see, this is not second declension. It's first declension.
How are we going to know that? Going from English to Greek.
You would know it because in the sheet that I gave you,
in the vocabulary,
I had it in there. Besides, if you see it in the dictionary form, this is the way it would look. You know that's not second declension. Because that's the nominative form, If it was second declension, it would be what? Os. But it isn't. It's Es. Now, if this wasn't here, you might have a problem with it. You might try to opt for feminine and make it E-mathetes, but it isn't. It's O-mathetes. Okay? In other words, most nouns in the second declension are masculine, most nouns in the first declension are feminine, but there are second declension feminine nouns and first declension masculine nouns. That's why I threw this in, because I wanted you to see. And as you decline this, this would decline as per the articles, right? It would be two, and here you would have to use the what? The first declension, which just happens to be ooh. Just happens to rhyme in the first declension. Now here's another mistake somebody would make. Look up here a minute. Tu mathetu from o mathetos. Thinking that this was, in fact, second declension. And so they would spell it this way in the dictionary form, but it's not correct. There's the spelling, because it's first declension. Yeah, keep your articles and your nouns in the same number, gender, and case, always. Same number, gender, case, and keep them together. If you're going to use the accusative, it's ton data on, okay? In the accusative, or rather in the genitive, it's to. This is spelling, by the way. Ooh, whatever it is. Provided that these two words that you're spelling are in what declension? The second. Because if they're in the first, they're going to have different endings. But the articles will not change. The dative, singular, of course. The spelling, blah, 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 blah. Right together. Couplets. If you put something else in here, then that, you don't know what it stands for. You can't split the words. Yeah.
We could combine the two handouts that you've given us in just in that way, right? Writing up the article and the ending.
Yeah.
As a record sheet. I mean, it will, there's no traps there.
No traps. Provided you stay in the second declension.
Right.
When you're in the first declension. Well, I gave you that one sheet. Remember, on first declension nouns, that has the whole thing right there. It has the article plus the endings. A and B of that sheet are the feminine nouns, and C and D are the masculine nouns of the first declension. But remember, there are more A's and B's than there are C's and D's. But since there are C's and D's, they have to be in there. You have that sheet in front of you, Philip? Okay. You see what I'm talking about? Okay. Yeah, you have that, Mark, so if you wanted to make one up for the second declension, that's easy, because the second declension rhymes, whereas the first does not. For instance, look at the C. The accusative singular, right, is ton, that's masculine, but look at the ending. Teen, okay? C. C, accusative singular. You see it? Ton. And then beitin. See it? Normally it would be what? If it's a second declension noun, it would be ton dada on. Right? It ends with a omega and a knee. Here you have an ita and a knee. because that's first declension. And I thought I had to go over this again, and I'm glad I did, because apparently some of you others are having the same problem. Make up those sentences, though. Make up 10 sentences and translate them. And then look at them carefully and say to yourself, am I saying what I'm saying in English? For instance, the word is sent The word of God is sent to man. All right, you don't have to write it down. Just look and see how you would do it. All right, I want to translate this into Greek. The word of God is sent to man. Subject. The word. Okay? Or Logos. We're in good shape now. We've got that. Now we have of God. Genitive. To Theou. Okay? The word of God is sent. It. So it's from Steli. Is sent to Anthropo, to man. What I've been amazed with, quite frankly, and this is not new for this class, every Greek class I've taught and every Greek class I've been a part of, the people that sat in the class knew so little English, they had difficulty in trying to relate that to Greek, like direct objects, indirect objects, possessive, and so on. That's amazing, because that really is third grade grammar. I had the same problem. I learned more English grammar as a result of learning Greek grammar. And thereby I know others have come to me and said, I didn't really know why it was important to know grammar, but now I know why, because if you're going to learn Greek, you have to be able to put it somewhere. You can't just call it a thing. That thing goes alongside of that thing, and it's ahead of that stuff, under that thingamajig. Anything that's worth anything has technical language. I was talking to a guy tonight on the telephone from Salt Lake, and I was telling him what I can make available to him, and it sounded as something like this. Now, everyone in this room understands it, but take five people that have no understanding of this, and you can just imagine what it sounds like. Here was my phrases. All right, you're going to get 40 meg hard drive, okay, with 1 meg RAM memory, expandable to 4 megs, okay, I.O. card, 2 serial, 1 parallel, a hard card, or rather a hard drive combination floppy drive controller with 1.44 meg floppy, 1.22 meg floppy with EGA color. Y'all understand that? Instead of 286, obviously, at 16 megahertz. All right, we all understand that. We all understand it because everybody in this room has computer knowledge. But you get somebody else in here, and I might as well say 4298 touchdown would make more sense. Or 90 to 129. That sound familiar? 90 to 129. Yeah, that was the Utah Jazz's wipeout of the Phoenix Suns last night. Can you imagine losing by 30 points? And they were supposed to win? Ugh. Anyway, back to this wonderful Greek. this one and this one. The Word of God is sent to man. The Word, it is sent. See here. This isn't quite correct, but that, this would be a different word. But this is the only one you know right now. It, send. To man. You could say it this way. To anthropon, okay, here's where English would really ball you up. I forgot something here. Well, anyway. I'm mixing it all up. Have I changed the sentence at all in Greek? No. So it's exactly the same thing. And I don't care where you put those words, provided, of course, the articles are close to the nouns that they modify, or that they're related to. I can't take this and put it in here. I can't take this and put it in front of this and this and back of that. It wouldn't make sense. But all you have to do at one glance, the subject of the sentence is still the subject of the sentence. But if you'd have tried to translate this word for word, the man, he sends the Word of God. Well, see, I've changed the sentence in English because I put it into English structure. But in Greek, O logos is still the subject of the sentence, no matter where it is in the sentence. And O logos tou Theou is still the Word of God. And then, of course, stele is present active indicative, and it has to reflect the subject of the sentence because the verb follows the subject, not the object, right? So he must reflect back to its antecedent, the subject, meaning the word, belonging to God, and then to the man is the incidental, which is simply what? The indirect object. This still remains dative, this is still nominative, this is still genitive. So here you have your... What? No. O logos tei, O logos tou Theou, the word belonging to God, is sent to man. Yeah. Word is sent. Still a subject. Don't say no. Don't say no. Word is sent. Word is the subject. Is sent is the verb. In this case, it's the Word of God being sent. Because if I put it back in this structure again, what have I changed? Nothing. The Word of God is sent to man. Same thing. So you see, Greek is not structural. It's analytical. And all you got to do is pick out the articles, and you find them. There's the subject of the sentence, there's the possessive of that subject, there's the indirect object. In this case, there's no direct object. Because the Word of God is sent to man. Okay? No direct object. Go ahead. Indirect. It would be a preposition in English. Yeah, there is, but it must be preceded by what? A preposition. We don't have one here. Yes, but you see, you could also translate it into a non-prepositional phrase. In this case, you would say, let's go back here. The Word of God right, is sent to man. You say to man is a preposition. Man being the object of the preposition to. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
In English, it would be translated as a prepositional phrase. If you wanted to make it a preposition in Greek, but you don't want to do that, right? Because here we're just simply using it as a simple indirect object, to man. See? Word of God is sent to man.
So it's like understood the context of the sentence.
Exactly.
You're
reading it, you'd have to translate it from Greek to a prepositional phrase to have it make English sense. But if you wanted to make it a preposition in Greek, you'd have to use the preposition. Okay? And the Greeks have prepositions. We saw that. I gave you a whole list of them last time. We'll cover that next time. I'm not satisfied with what you're doing with these. You're fighting them. Carl, do you get it? You see it now? Very simple. No matter where I put these words, I could start off with, this is not correct, really, and this is really the problem right here, because this really isn't the right word for sent, okay? This is the word for send, and I'm trying to translate it sent, and I just don't want to throw in, let's see, all right. Yeah, here's a better one. O logos to Theou lii ton anthropon. Okay, that's at the end. All right. The word of God does what? Means to loose. To free. Frees man. Now there's the direct object. Okay? Now, watch this. Armatias, by the way, is the Greek word for sins. O logos to Theou lei tas armatias ton anthropon. The word of God looses the sins of man. Now I've thrown in the genitive. I have a genitive up here and I throw in a genitive down here. To, right? Tas, actually, because it's first declension, feminine. Only women sin. Please ask questions, because when you sit there with those funny looks on your face, I just think you're either getting it or you're so thoroughly confused you don't want to say anything. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And what I see here, nominative is an eta, and you have an eta sigma.
For the genitive?
Yeah.
And remember now, the key there is that they're all feminine.
Okay. But you have an eta, the dative, and you have an eta ni. That's the ending, right?
That's accusative. Right. Rho alpha subscript. Rho alpha ni. Okay.
Rho alpha.
Now that's the vocative.
In group C, there's supposed to be eta sigma. You have an eta sigma. The next one in genitive. Where's the eta sigma? Two.
Because it's masculine.
Okay, so the ending is Takamakramiswa? Is that the ending of the word?
Where?
Genitive case, group C, singular. Genitive singular.
Genitive singular, group C, yeah.
What is the ending on the word?
Takamakramiswa? Yeah, T-O-U.
That is the ending. Okay.
Exactly. No, it's ita. The word is from what? Be it. Poet. Is, u, I, in, a. Okay? The fact that it has a taf in there is because the word has it in it. Okay, you wouldn't have any problem because that's the ones that have this, that use that, have tafs in them. Mathetis, pitis, okay? Dididis. Is ita sigma. But you go taf ita sigma, no problem. But see, if the article wasn't in front of the C nominative, if you saw taf ita sigma, you would think it was feminine. Assuming that it was genitive of the A category, with the ita sigma ending there. See it? Okay? So you'd have to look it up in a dictionary. And once you did that, you'd see there was a omicron in front of it as the article, and it'd tell you right away that it's masculine. And then eventually, Mark, your vocabulary, you just pick it up and you know it. Yeah, as a matter of fact, let's change that word to o. Everybody there, nominative, nominative singular. Instead of the word poet, we'll change it to o mathetis. Okay? Tu mathetu. To matheto. Ton mathe. I'm sorry. To matheti. Okay, then accusative, ton, mathetin. All I've changed is the beginning of it. From mathat. From mathano. Mathano is the verb of the noun mathetis. It means taught one, disciple. Mathano means I teach. Okay? To learn is the Greek word matho. See how it works? Yeah.
And not in all these cases do we find sigma or alpha sigma. In some cases they're abbreviated, right? Sigma's been dropped.
No. Wait a minute. What's dropped?
When sigma was dropped.
You can't drop any sigmas in nouns. Is that what you're saying? Where are you? Where are you?
I'm looking mostly in group C.
Yeah.
And group D.
All right, they're both masculine nouns of the first declension. That's the key there, but go ahead.
Well, what was confusing me is, for example, in C, nominative, O, P, D, the poet, right?
Yes.
E to sigma.
Yes. Right.
The category
sigma. Right. Or better yet, taf ita sigma.
Okay.
Leave it at that.
But, for example, the David, it has only ita.
Yeah, but it's taf ita.
Okay.
Yeah. Leave the taf in there. That makes it easier for you.
So the taf is part of the ending.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The main thing to remember is that in the feminines, right? In the A category, it's simply ita endings. Right? In the B category, feminine, it's ro alpha endings. You with me? B category. C category, now we're in the masculine. C and D are both masculine. And so it's ita sigma categories, whether it be tau ita sigma categories, it doesn't matter because there's no nominative form ita sigma in the other two. You follow what I'm saying? And then you have the alpha sigma in the nominative in the D. So the spelling of the word would end with feminine nominative singular of A category, ita. B category, rho alpha. C category, ita sigma. That would be the ending. Right? You still with me, Mark? Well, look at the ita sigma of the nominative case. Oh, forget the word ita sigma. Look in the entire paradigm of the whole thing. Do you see oh ita sigma anyplace else?
No.
No, but you do see ita sigma in the genitive of A.
Right.
But there's the article there. It says tis.
Okay.
Now, the confusion might be that if you saw kephalis with an ita sigma there, right? You might say to yourself, well, why can't that be nominative, right, of the C category, since it's eta sigma?
Right.
And I'll tell you why. Look over the eta in B. I mean, rather, A.
The accent?
It's not an accent, it's a circumflex.
Circumflex in the accent. Okay.
And, no, there's just a circumflex.
Okay.
In the genitive singular of the A categories.
Right.
There is no circumflex in the nominative. It's just an accent.
Okay.
That's the difference.
All right. Then I missed it.
All right. See how... And by the way, there was a professor that taught Greek here at Arizona Bible College, or Arizona College of the Bible, who said accents and circumflexes are worthless. Well, you tell me that now. They just explained to you that, right? They're absolutely necessary because it tells you that there's been some kind of a change or you're not on the ground that you think you're on. So what you could memorize would be the genitive ita sigma has the circumflex in the A category feminine, whereas the ita sigma of the C nominative has an accent.
Okay, I got you.
Can I make it easier?
Sure.
Okay. Okay, now, go to the dative A. What's the ending? And subscript. Now go to dative C. Same thing. So you just locked in another rule. You say the datives of the of the feminine and the masculine of A and E are the same, or A and C are the same.
So then you've got to lean on the article.
Exactly. Great. You have to lean on the article. Exactly. Because if you saw that word by itself, without the article, you would either opt for dative feminine, dative masculine, but there's another clue in there because there's a tough in there, and I think that is a part of the ending. Okay, I'd have to check those words, quite frankly. I mean, you only, Mark, you may only have 8 of them. You follow what I'm saying? But when you get to the rho alphas, and especially the itas, like kephali, and stuff like that, man, it goes on and on and on and on. Especially the alpha endings in the feminine. Because generally speaking, repeating it again, the first declension nouns are feminine, with the exception of these two categories of masculine nouns, and there aren't that many of them. See, I can think of 3 of them. Beitis, mathetis, prophetis, and all of them have tis endings. All of them are masculine first declension nouns. So I can almost say, almost, that they all have tis endings. Tafita sigma. Yeah, you're going to see some duplications because the accusative is the same, but it doesn't have the taf, obviously. So these, we'll make them, let's agree with what your initial statement was. Taf, ita, sigma, taf, 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 all the way down. We'll say that that is an integral part of the terminate, the ending. Okay? Although this word is from poet. See? Beit. And you simply put the ending, beitis. Okay. The alpha sigmas are no problem. Now you say, well, I would have a problem if I went genitive B. You see genitive B? You have alpha sigma. And nominative D. Alpha sigma. But you have a clue there. The clue is that the genitive B is rho alpha sigma. Because these are the rho alpha feminine nouns. You don't have a row in the other one. Got that? See it? Notice too where the accent is. In the rho alpha sigma, it's over the epsilon, which means that the rho alpha sigma stands alone, right? Whereas in the nominative of the young man, down at the bottom, D, it's over the iota because alpha sigma stands alone. See, it's an alpha sigma noun ending. So the accents do help us. They tell us kind of, click, there it is at the end. But you can't do that with the tis. That's why I stopped you at that point. But I'm almost sure that what I've suggested is possibly correct, that most of the tafita sigma nouns, in other words, they are in fact of the C category, they have tafs in them. Now watch, I'll be studying Wednesday and I'll find one that doesn't. Right? But off the top of my head, I can't think of any more. Mathetis, prophetis, piitis. Be nice if I had a thing that ended with just teases. Okay, make up some sentences, would you? 10 of them. Translate them. Put your English first or last, whichever you prefer, and then go from there. It's gonna keep clicking in as you go along. But you see why it's necessary to keep coming back on a weekly basis? Miss a week and you can see right now it could be disastrous. Okay. Thank you, Father, for the time together. Dismiss us now, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen.